Big thanks to Keith Teklitz for editing this episode.
Now, this is a story all about how Luke Cage got to his turn upside down. He fought Cottonmouth and Diamondback. Some think he's a hero. Others give him flack. I better stop. Never said I was very talented in singing, let alone rapping. Luke Cage, man, we haven't finished talking about Luke Cage yet. As I said before, I really enjoyed this show. It's probably my favorite Netflix Marvel show so far. We'll see about Iron Fist, I guess. And then it's the Defenders, where they all come together. And to be honest with you, I really don't remember where I took off with talking about Luke Cage. Well, I know I talked about him being in prison. I know I talked about him getting his powers and escaping with Reva out of the prison. I know I talked about how much I liked Cottonmouth as a villain. I haven't talked a lot about Mariah Dillard yet. So really, there's three main bad guys. Four, I guess, if you count Shades. He's kind of bridges the gap between the two main villains. So I guess I'll start with more about Cottonmouth. So as I said, they did a really good job with his character development. Basically, his backstory is he grew up, I think his parents were killed. Him and Mariah Dillard grew up together. They're not brother and sister, but they both had the same grandma. I think they're cousins, right? And he grew up with his grandma and his uncle, Mariah's dad. His grandma was kind of like involved in all the crime in Harlem. I don't think she was a crime boss, but she definitely had a lot of influence and pulled a lot of strings. They had some crime operations going on in Harlem, and I guess the uncle was part of that. So you kind of have this shared origin story or backstory for Mariah and Stokes or Cottonmouth. You know, they were just kind of caught in this life where there, you know, there was crime and people getting killed and things like that. And the backstory talks about kind of how they got involved in that. Stokes was a musical prodigy or whatever. He was really good at music and was doing really well. And I think the grandma was trying to keep him away from the crime aspects of things to a point. And then the uncle was kind of, you know, tough on him and trying to drag him in to be tougher instead of thinking about music all the time and wanted to toughen him up for the realities of life kind of thing. The grandma finds out that the uncle is making deals with other crime families or, you know, anyway, doing side deals or whatever against whatever crime things she has going on. She thinks that he has to die. And essentially, she now pushes Stokes to kill his uncle. And we also find out that the uncle had, I think, molested Mariah and things like that. Now the grandma's kind of pushing Stokes to become a man and has him kill the uncle, commit his first murder. That's kind of the upbringing that he had. But you can see, even as an adult, even though he's involved, he's killed people and he's involved in crime, you know, this gun running thing, and you know, he hasn't gotten this Harlem's Paradise nightclub the best of way, you know, in the best of ways. He's pretty much his own little crime boss. But you keep hearing about Diamondback and that he's backing Stokes or that he's, you know, in the background somewhere. And Shades is kind of Diamondback's liaison or whatever with Cottonmouth, kind of helping and overseeing things and probably also reporting back to Diamondback of what's going on. But anyway, you could really see that even though he's involved in all this crime. He still loves music. That's why he has a nightclub. There's a part with him playing on the organ or the piano or something. You can tell he just loves it. And you can see where his life could have been different if he would have been able to focus on music and not gotten drug into killing and the crime in Harlem. But yet he does do bad things. And so anyway, Mariah Dillard comes to visit him. You know, she does a great job. She always does. Alfre Woodard, she's a great actress. I think her character was maybe underserved a little bit in the show. I don't know. It depends on how you look at it. You know, she was always kind of behind the scenes finagling things, you know, the politician kind of thing. And maybe one of the best scenes in the whole series, she comes to visit him, talk to him, and say, hey, you know, I lost a lot of things when Luke Cage attacked the Crispus Attucks and all this stuff. And anyway, they were talking about stuff and started talking about their uncle. And you know, he was replied to something about having to kill him and, you know, how that was a monkey on his back kind of thing. You know, she was saying, well, he wasn't any good to me. I can't remember how it all went down. But then Stokes kind of got flippant about it. And he was like, yeah, but I think you liked it. You encouraged him to do those things to you. And you just kind of see this switch go off in Mariah. She loses it and just starts beating on him with such ferocity that he's kind of taken aback and not able to fight back. She's just yelling and screaming at him and hitting at him. And eventually he falls out of this window to the floor of the nightclub about a story down. And he wasn't dead, but she went down and she killed him with a microphone stand. And so, yeah, there's violence in this show. That was probably the most violent scene that we saw. It wasn't quite as bad as the kingpin in the car door. Pretty violent, but just filled with character moment there. And just the rage and the emotion that Mariah Dillard had. And so at that point, I can't remember how many episodes in we were. Maybe halfway through. Maybe episode 6. Or something like that. Cottonmouth, who's I thought was one of the coolest villains ever, better than the Kingpin almost, or at least on par with the Kingpin, and he's dead. Mariah Dillard killed him. It was unexpected, surprising, very effective in the way that played out. You didn't expect Cottonmouth, you know, who they'd been building up as his main villain, as his main bad guy that we got to know, to die. All of a sudden, he's gone. Mariah Dillard is, you know, trying to figure out what to do now, you know, once she calms down and stuff, she doesn't know what to do. Well, who's there to give her advice? Who's there to orchestrate things? Shades. And I don't know. That name, it is true to the comics, so that's a good thing. I just kind of make fun of it every time I think of his name. But he was a good actor, too. Played a good role in there. So we have Shades and Mariah Dillard trying to cover up. And then they essentially set up Luke Cage that he's the one that killed Cottonmouth. And, you know, tried to build a narrative around that. And so, yeah, like this is a huge thing. It just breaks up the series right here. But what does this open up? This opens up the opportunity for Diamondback to come in and to take over what's going on here with Cottonmouth's operation and everything. And we don't understand it at first, but Diamondback seems to have a personal vendetta against Luke Cage, even though at this point we wouldn't suspect that. You know, everything's been with Cottonmouth, and I don't think Diamondback cared enough about Cottonmouth to have this personal vendetta against him. But anyway, so they hint that there's a history there between Diamondback and Luke Cage, but as the audience and Luke Cage himself really doesn't understand that doesn't know what the connection is. But up till this point, you know, Luke Cage has been untouchable, right? I mean, you can't kill him with a gun. He just goes in, people are shooting him with a gun, and he just walks up to him, gets rid of the gun, and takes care of the bad guy that was shooting at him kind of thing. He's just, you know, untouchable because of his broken skin. Oh, yeah, there was this really cool scene where Cottonmouth was talking about that, where Mariah Dillard was saying, you need to take care of Luke Cage. You need to deal with this. And he's like, what can I do? He's unstoppable. You can't shoot him. You can't do all these things. You know, and that's what they're used to doing. You know, they either beat people up or they shoot them. they kill him, you know, with a gun. Luke Cage can't do that. And there's this really cool scene where Mariah Dillard's talking to Godmouth, and she's like, well, can't you poison him? Can't you drown him? He's not immortal, you know, kind of thing. And you can just see there where, you know, he's more of a direct, upfront, you know, guns and fists kind of bad guy. And she's like more sneaky, conniving. Well, if you can't kill him with a gun, you can't beat him up. There's other ways to kill people, you know. Just that was kind of a cool, evil scene, too, where you could see that she was a different kind of villain. Back to Diamondback. So he comes on the scene, and he's got these bullets. I guess we heard a little bit about these bullets, and I can't remember what they were called. Oh, well, they're Hammer Tech, right? And that was kind of a cool throwback to Iron Man 2, where you had Justin Hammer, who was kind of the rival firm or whatever that made weapons that used to be the competition for Stark before Tony stopped making weapons, that kind of thing. So these were bullets made by Hammer Tech. They were an exploding, so they would hit you with the force and then they would explode after they hit you. The theory was that they would be able to take out Luke Cage. Eventually, you know, Diamondback does shoot Luke Cage with one of these. And it hits him in his shoulder and he's messed up. It does penetrate his skin and it explodes once it's in there. So he's in bad shape, ends up with Claire Temple to try to help him. He does go after Diamondback, chases him down to a theater, and they fight. You know, and Diamondback doesn't have any superpowers or anything, you know, but he's has this gun, and so, you know, Luke Cage has to be careful or whatever. He ends up getting away from Luke Cage, and eventually ends up shooting him again, this time in the gut, and he's in a bad way. Claire has to try to take care of him again, but she can't really do anything because this, you know, it's exploded inside of him, and his superpowers seem to be drawing the fragments from the bullet, you know, toward his heart or something like that. So he says, take me to, was it Georgia where he was originally from? Anyway, Seagate, wherever the Seagate prison was. In that area, he said, let's go there. So they leave Harlem to go find the scientist guy that originally gave Luke Cage his superpowers inadvertently to see what he can do, see if he can figure out the problem. And, you know, meanwhile, Diamondback and Mariah Dillard are doing, you know, crime things and trying to get everybody against Luke Cage. When he was injured, he did have a run-in with some police and ended up, you know, throwing one of the police away, you know, didn't kill him or anything, but threw him up against a cop car through the air, and it was all caught by the dash cam and stuff. So the cops especially are, you know, getting all riled up against Luke Cage. And they say that, you know, this TV show was developed and even filmed a lot before a lot of this Black Lives Matter and you know, the police, the friction between the African-American community and the police force and things like that. I mean, it's front and center here in this show. And it's very timely. It's very interesting, you know, to watch this on the screen and compare it with everything that's going on in the real world. Again, I think that's what makes this such a great television show, is that in the ways that it can be, you know, it is an authentic show. You know, it's trying to show what Harlem was really like. You know, they talked about Harlem being a character for the show, and that was the producer or director's, you know, main goal was to make Harlem come alive. And I think they succeeded, at least as far as I know. Like I said, I'm a Northwestern white boy, but anyway, I like that aspect. But anyway, so Claire and Luke Cage leave and go to find this scientist to help Luke, because this bullet is going to kill him eventually. Up to this point, like I said, Luke Cage has been unstoppable. Nothing's been able to hurt him. But now, with these super bullets, you know, he's in real danger of dying. These were developed by Hammer Tech, like I said. And that part was cool. But the part I'm kind of getting tired of is it was based on Chitauri technology, which is the aliens that attacked New York in the first Avengers movie. As far as the city of New York, you know, Harlem and greater New York, like Harlem and Hell's Kitchen and things like that, you know, that definitely affects them more, and you could see where that storyline from Avengers could carry on. But I guess as an audience member, it's kind of like, really? You're going back to the Avengers and the Chitauri? You know, there's been so much that's happened since then. You know, why do we have to keep going back to the everything? And that was one thing that I had that does bother me sometimes in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Even though I love that show, you know, sometimes everything goes back to Chitauri technology. So that's kind of getting old, blaming everything on the Chitauri alien invasion and anything that's left over from that. But anyway, it's very compelling to see Luke Cage in peril, and his life in danger, because he's been so unstoppable up till now. So they go and see the scientist, and the scientist doesn't know what to do. You know, all they can think about is to try to get rid of these fragments. And so they end up putting him in this vat of acid. And so he's in a lot of pain. I mean, even though his skin is unbreakable, you know, they're saying maybe this will soften it to the point where we can get the bullet out, because at this point it's been impossible. Then he goes into cardiac arrest, and at the end of an episode, you know, boom, beep, you know, his life signs are down. Claire brings him back to life. Eventually, somehow, I can't remember how, but they're able to, maybe the acid does work, but almost kills him in the process. They're able to get the shrapnel out and let his body heal the way that it should. In the meantime, Luke, going through files on the professor's computer, finds out that Reva was part of everything that was going on at Seagate when he was there as a prisoner. She profiled him as a psychologist. She recommended him to be added to the fight ring thing that was going on. She did work for the scientist, found subjects for him to do experiments on. This wife, Reva, who's, you know, been the person that he's mourned, you know, going all the way back to Jessica Jones. And since she killed her, you know, she felt bad, and they had friction between Luke Cage and Jessica Jones because of that. So all this build up to Reva, you know, was his ex-wife. And or now we find out that she's a bad person. She did save his life. She did show that she loved him and wanted to be with him after he was out of prison, but she was never honest with him. And that was a big blow to Luke Cage. Eventually, him and Claire decide they need to go back to Harlem. He needs to face Diamondback or whatever, that it is his duty to get involved in that situation. So in the meantime, Mariah Dillard has used this opportunity and the footage of him attacking the police to work up the citizens of Harlem and the police department to call for all of the police department to be armed with these super bullets that hurt Luke Cage and probably other superpowered individuals. And so it was kind of an escalation of the armament of the police. And, you know, this was all done in the name of Luke Cage because he was seen on video attacking these police. It really talked about things that people are concerned about today with the whole outlook on things. And my political stance on that is there's bad people in on both sides, right? It's not all the police are against black people and you know, want to kill them. Obviously, I mean, that I don't think anybody actually thinks of that, but that's what is kind of portrayed in the media. I also don't think, you know, every black person is out to no good. And, you know, obviously so many people just live their lives day to day, just trying to get by, just, you know, making a living. And, you know, there are big, huge gang and crime problems in inner cities, and, you know, things aren't necessarily good in those scenarios, and there are people doing bad things. I just think, you know, there's a lot that can be done to bring these communities together, and there does need to be some more oversight over police, especially if there's a history of certain areas or certain officers that have issues. But I really don't know enough. I don't want to make all my opinions based on what I see in the media, because the media just likes to exploit every situation. And, you know, anytime anything happens, everybody assumes the worst and everybody causes problems for their own political agenda. Not everybody, but many, many people do. And it just makes the problem even worse. And so, anyway, I don't want to get into too much of that. But what I really liked is that this show, this Marvel TV show on Netflix, didn't shy away from any of that. It was front and center in all that they were doing. And I was impressed by that. It was very well done, I thought, on both sides. Anyway, so that was great. I mean, it felt like it was real. It felt like this is stuff, something that could happen. Not that somebody could be superpowered from a prison experiment, but just everything else that was around it. It was just a very grounded series. And getting back to the story, so Luke Cage goes back. There's a big town hall meeting all about him and you know, escalating the police armament and all this stuff. And he kind of sneaks in there with Claire, and Diamondback's there, and he, you know, takes hostages, and it makes a bad situation worse. And Claire and Misty Knight are both there, and they're in danger. And Shades is there. You know, he turns out to be the only guy with a cool head. And, you know, even Diamondback, you know, he's getting kind of more and more crazy, you know, with his obsession about Luke Cage. And, you know, Shades is the only one that kind of sees how things really are. And, yeah, he works for Diamondback, but he kind of sees what's going on there. And so he ends up being a pretty good character, pretty interesting character, even though I make fun of him all the time because of his name. He does tend to be kind of the consistent one there. And then, of course, there's a big battle scene at the end, or towards the end, between Diamondback and Luke Cage. But I have to be honest, I really didn't care about Diamondback and Luke Cage together. I mean, it was an interesting fight because Diamondback had this suit on that we find out, you know, we think it's like gives them superpowers and protection against Luke Cage. And it does. But the way that it does that is it relies upon Luke fighting him. So every time Luke Cage punches the suit, it gives the suit more power that it can turn around and you know, deliver more against Luke Cage. And so until Luke Cage figures that out, he's almost fighting himself. He's providing the power that Diamondback needs to defeat him. And the more power that he uses, the more power that the suit gets. So that was an interesting part of it. But as far as the personal thing, and it was interesting seeing the backstory between Luke Cage and Diamondback. Essentially, they have the same father, but different mothers. I think their father was a preacher. He was a pretty corrupt guy. Diamondback, I can't remember his actual name, was the illegitimate son of Luke's father and his mistress, or whatever. So they shared their father, but had different mothers, and you know, there was a lot of daddy issues there, especially for Diamondback, and you know, he blamed Luke Cage for all of his woes because he was the good kid or the good child, and thought that the father loved him more. It was kind of interesting. Diamondback, you know, everywhere he went, whenever he was doing stuff, he was quoting scripture and you know, using scripture as justification for his actions and, you know, vengeance against other people and stuff. So that was, then you kind of see why that connection there is, because Luke's dad was a preacher and all this stuff went down. So part of that backstory was interesting, but I just never, Diamondback as a character never really resonated with me. He was just another bad guy. And, you know, he was formidable because of these bullets. And you know, he pretty much played it cool until toward the end. But anyway, this big battle, once Luke Cage figured out that he was powering up the suit, he stopped fighting back. And, yeah, he was in danger of being killed or whatever. Eventually, Diamondback's power ran out, and Luke Cage was able to put an end to that. You know, the police now had all these bullets, and they were still kind of upset with Luke Cage because they thought that he had beaten up some of their fellow police officers and things like that. So that was all going down, but that got de-escalated. Misty Knight was part of that. And I haven't talked enough about Misty Knight, but we see a lot of her as the detective trying to figure things out. You know, her partner was corrupt and ended up getting killed. You know, she was under suspicion at one point. She kind of wanted to trust Luke Cage, but at the same time, you know, she had to figure things out, and you know, him not being available didn't help her. there was a lot going on with her, and she was a great character. I really liked how they fleshed her out. But probably, you know, other than Luke Cage himself, Mike Coulter, who I thought was awesome in the show, just, I really, really liked Luke Cage as a character. And as a, I mean, not just as a superhero, he was the reluctant hero, where he didn't want to get involved necessarily, but he saw the need, his dedication to Pops and everything. And even despite all the things that he learned about Reva and everything, that it was all a lie kind of thing, he'd already, at this point, he had already found his moral center, and he was able to overcome that and make things right. And I like that about Luke Cage. Really, the breakout star for me was Mahershala Ali as Cottonmouth. The writers wrote that character extremely well, extremely intriguing, and the acting with that character was extremely good. You know, I guess he's getting an Oscar, or at least he was nominated for an Oscar. I don't know if he won for a movie that he was in. I didn't follow the Oscars too much, but I did know who was nominated and those kinds of things. So he was up for an Oscar, and here he is playing Cottonmouth in for half of this Luke Cage series, and I think, you know, stole the show in every scene that he was in. Even against somebody like Alfre Woodard, who, of course, did an amazing job of acting as Mariah Dillard, especially in those key scenes in the middle. But her character wasn't written as well, I don't think. And so she didn't resonate as much with me as Cottonmouth. So I'd love, even though he's dead now, I would love to see more with Cottonmouth and Luke Cage and them going back and forth. But, of course, we probably never will see that. But anyway, overall, I was very satisfied with Luke Cage. Like I said, I think I liked Luke Cage better than I liked Jessica Jones and even Daredevil. I mean, there were moments in Daredevil that were amazing. You know, the character of the Kingpin and of Matt Murdock himself were great. But just my overall enjoyment of the whole series was Luke Cage. Even though it might have been overall the most violent. I mean, there was a lot of things that were just kind of devastating in Luke Cage. And a lot of bullets and a lot of people getting hurt and things like that. But I just, the character of Luke Cage to me stood out as one of the best of these Netflix Marvel shows. He's cool. He's humble. And for most of the series, he was kind of unstoppable until these super bullets showed up. But even there, you know, I really like the character. Next up is Iron Fist. And it just started at the time of this recording, when I started recording this, of course. It was just in the works. The reviews on Iron Fist haven't been good. A lot of people have been talking down about Iron Fist, but I want to see it for myself. And so I'll be talking about that at some point after I watch that series. I don't know. There's so much other things going on right now with work, TV shows I'm not able to watch as much. But I'm sure I'll watch Iron Fist, and I'll talk about it here. And it's all leading up to the Defenders, you know, similar to, you know, all these movies that led up to Avengers. They're filming it now or have filmed it. And the Iron Fist and the Defenders are going to be shorter. They've been 13 episodes up till now per season for both seasons of Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and then Luke Cage. They were all 13 episodes. But I think I think Iron Fist and Defenders are both going to be 8 episodes. And I'm looking forward to those, you know. Even if Iron Fist doesn't turn out to be as good as these other shows, it'll still be good. There'll still be interesting things there, I'm sure. Sigourney Weaver has been announced as the villain, or one of the villains, I guess. I don't know how many there's going to be in the Defenders. I'm hoping that Kingpin will come back for that as well, or at least, you know, for a little bit, have an episode or so, or more. Hey, that'd be great. But I'm intrigued by who is Sigourney Weaver going to play. Is it somebody from the comics? Is it somebody new? Probably somebody from the comics. I'm sure there's speculation out there, but I try not to listen to too much of that. So, Luke Cage, man, he's the best. I like Luke Cage. He's the man. So far, that's the one to beat right there is Luke Cage for these Netflix shows. For me, anyway. And so, I guess next time we meet, we'll see what else is strewn along the path. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
The Journey Into podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. This means that you should feel free to share this file with whoever you would like, but please don't change it or sell it.